Good evening, folks. It's Tuesday, February 20th, 2018, 9 p.m. Eastern. And this is the Welcome Committee call. I do not see our new speaker as yet, but I guess we'll carry on until he shows up. Now, this call is supposed to be made up of, as well as those that are interested, it's supposed to be made up of members from each state who have been selected as Welcome Committee members. And we are trying to get new members on here to learn more about who we are and how to navigate the website to find what they need. We also wish to teach the new people what is available to them, as well as what all committees they may wish to join. Unfortunately, we haven't had too many of the new people on. And it's been a little difficult contacting new people after they join. We have found that some have not provided the proper phone number or other information needed for contact of them. So we are looking for ways to build the listenership for this call and to get people active, people to volunteer for different positions that are open. Now, we have tried using emails in the past, and many people complained that they were getting too many emails. So we have been attempting to call the new people to invite them onto the call so that they individually are receiving the message. I hope we don't have to go back to making mass emails, but we may have to. What we need from the Welcome Committee members is for them to go on to the website, the National Liberty Alliance website, and go to the Welcome Committee and check on their state for the new members who have signed on, and then to talk to them about coming on the call to get further training on what's available. Right now, I see that some of you are people who sign on every week, and I appreciate that. But I'm not seeing two people that I really expected to see. but there are still people signing in, so. Howdy, Jan.
Good evening.
I was just talking about who we are and what we're trying to do, and I haven't seen Jim yet.
Well, I can drop off the call and try and call him if you want.
Yeah, it might be a good idea.
Okay.
Well, I think everyone here is aware of how busy the National Liberty Alliance is. You know, we have like 6,500 members listed, and we have openings for a lot of people. There's just a small core group of us that are doing the majority of the work that gets done. And we could sure use more people to jump in and take part.
Hello, I'm on the welcoming call.
Yes, you are.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you were in progress or if you could hear me or...
Yeah, I hear you. Who are you?
Denise Mraz in Las Vegas.
Ah. Well, welcome to the call.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate the group. I won't be able to make a lot of the calls, but certainly... I'll try to make as many as I can.
Well, that's great. That's all we can ask.
Mm-hmm. Who's this?
This is Robert.
Robert, okay.
So are you I guess I'm asking if you are actually a member of the Welcome Committee or if you are just interested in listening in.
Just interested in listening in. I just got started with NLA recently, and I signed up to have a committee of safety here in Las Vegas.
Great.
I'm in play with Jan, who we're working together on a project, and I'd like to get a few notice of liabilities going here in Las Vegas on some various issues.
Well, we certainly need the help in Vegas.
I noticed that there was a name and a contact that I wrote down, but anyway, I tried to call and nobody was available at that number. So I don't know if it's still valid or not.
Excuse me for butting in, but is this Denise who was on the call last night?
Yes.
Okay. I'm Jim. If you tried to call me, I was powerless to be in at 9 o'clock Eastern time like I was supposed to be. I was writing with another person and just walked in the door and just signed on. So.
Okay.
And there's several phone numbers on my phone, but I had to get busy here and get going. So good evening, Robert. Sorry I'm a little late.
Well, and, I was carrying on. I was just talking about who we are and what we're doing and
Right.
And Denise,
we want to welcome every neighbor that we can, so because we need as many people as we can to get involved. And Denise, glad to have you. You're the one with the, you mentioned the site last night. It's Jane something?
Jane Public Project. That's my blog.
That's a very polished, very beautiful site.
Thank you.
I've already told several people to go to it and look at it. So.
Well, I appreciate that. Right now, our big challenge is Convention of States. So they only need four more states to ratify and convene as a convention. They already, and I say they, basically it's a Soros-backed effort, and they have prepared what I'll call a progressive constitution. And their goal is to convince the delegates to open up committees and provide clarification clauses to adjust the amendments of the Constitution. Now, how they've roped people in is they've told people on the right that term limits are necessary. And the convention itself was kind of a last-ditch effort put in by the framers to, in an emergency, to be able to adjust the Constitution if necessary. But what, of course, has been hijacked, and essentially what Soros is planning to do is pay people to be a runaway delegation. They'll have free reign to do anything that they want. There's two people per state, so that would be at least 100. If they had all 50 states, they only need 34 states to begin the process.
And you're saying there are 30 states right now that are willing to be on board for this idea?
Yes.
I have a lot of questions about it.
I have to tell you that anything having to do with a Article 5 convention scares the hell out of me, and I don't think that we can afford to have it done.
Right, exactly. We can't afford to have it done. So if you read Gene Public Project, and the article is JPP 25, it was just put on a couple days ago, and if you can share it with people, we are in such danger. It is unbelievable. I'm also a member of the John Birch Society. They have put out a lot of great videos, but, sadly, people are just distracted with the Mueller investigation and other things going on and these shootings. And, I mean, if there is any threat to our freedom, it is the Convention of States. And when you read through it, you'll see all the ties to Soros, the progressive constitution that they have planned. It's the most horrific thing that can happen. So we need to stop it.
Well, I am working on a plan myself that I think at least it will stop it.
You can stop the Convention of States?
Well, I think that what I've been working out, we may have a chance to prevent it. I'm not saying that it will, but it may.
Well, we absolutely have to prevent it. I mean, there's just no doubt about it.
Can you divulge how it would be prevented, or is that something that needs to be kept quiet?
Well, I don't have everything worked out totally, but it...
I haven't heard if it's actually imminent, even close to imminent, to occurring. So
well,
there have been plans on the board for CONCON for a long time.
Well, there has been, and I hope it never happens. But what I'm looking at is a renewal of the Constitution.
I thought that's where you were probably talking, yeah.
Yeah, well, the Constitution would remain as written.
Just reaffirm it, he's talking about.
Reaffirming it with today's date and add more signers onto the Declaration of Independence.
Just the pride of signing below John Hancock, your signature and others, so... Denise, I have questions about that. Have you got a list of these alterations of the amendments? I mean, in the, you've got 30 states, that's at least 60 people. And so have you got some ideas what you would want to amend? You mentioned term limits.
No, we don't want to amend anything. There shouldn't be any changes. There should be no amendments. When this was done the last time in 1797, it was essentially like a runaway jury, except that the people involved were so patriotic, they improved the Constitution. But it was still so close to the time when we had state nationals and, you know, our country was newly founded. They did make some adjustments, but they did not stick within the terms of the convention.
Right, very poor communication systems back then, evidence, knowledge. And at that date of 1791, you said, there's already subversion occurring. 1787, there's already subversion that we were talking about last Thursday night is going on and is occurring. They've already established the Bank of North America. I thought later that actually creates a vehicle where they can begin laundering money into the country and providing it for the people that are working for the what is now the deep state, things like that. So, no, we're absolutely, I'm delighted anyway to, after looking at your site, hearing you last night, to have a member like you and any others that you have brought along with you to join NationalLibertyAlliance.org. We need you. We'd like everybody to at least contribute $5 a month. There's no requirement to make donations, but every little bit certainly helps. And,
sure. Well, you know, I'm in the Three Percenters and the Oath Keepers, and my goal was to try to nationally motivate them to get involved. And I think the concurrent effort of the In Power movement with the notice of liability and the potential to monetize their time based on violation of constitutional rights and subversion would be a draw. So my goal is to do that. But more importantly, can we consider ourselves as the NLA essentially a state militia? Because you look at the Second Amendment and you think, wow, if you took that at its just kind of as a literary piece, you almost see that because we have taken our state militia and converted it to the National Guard in the 1960s, we've essentially abolished our state militias.
Well, actually, that was done a long time before 1960.
Okay.
All the way back to 1903.
1903. The dates that I had were around the 1960s when it was formally ended and formally
by
part
what
of
leadership?
The military.
Would this be presidential or executive branch or congressional branch, or would you know that?
I don't know, but
I know that it's been converted, and the dates I can't quote like Robert just did. So,
But
I understand what you're saying. To where the power of the people still controls the militia rather than the powers that we can't trust. And,
right.
And,
I see. The state militia, yes, converted over to the National Guard. However, you still have the militia.
Yeah, the private militia.
Unorganized,
The unorganized militia. See, the state militia was the organized militia.
But what were you asking? Could NLA be the militia? I didn't quite understand what you meant by that.
Well, no, it couldn't. Okay.
Just refer.
One of the problems we have here is that we're all a little bit over 45. So we're kind of off the top end of the police, but we'd be happy to help in any way we can.
I think that's where we need to engage these Oath Keepers and the Three Percenters. I have, an inroad to those groups, also the 12 Percenters, also perhaps the vets I don't know, but we kind of need to start, you know, having a more concerted effort of these diverse extreme patriots, because otherwise we're like herding chickens when you're working with, you know, the alt-right, and it's not easy, I know.
Well, it's what we're trying to do, and we know it's not easy. You know, we're all about educating people, and we must educate the people on the Constitution, because without knowing the Constitution, the people really do not know what's going on.
Well, and the fact that Common Core, and before that, Rise to the Race to the Top, and before that, other curriculums in the public school system, they have removed civics and the Constitution.
Right.
As of right now, in Common Core, they don't even teach the Bill of Rights. Basically,
well,
in their go ahead.
I was just going to say, Common Core has been done away with now, but still, for a lot of years, they haven't taught civics or Constitution or any of that stuff that people need to know.
It's really
right.
A UN program, isn't it, Robert?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Well, the Common Core was a communist manifesto.
Yes.
I saw on the Jane site, talking to millennials, that they are so young that the education system has completely been subverted, taken over, and that they basically, their whole education is a lie. And I immediately gave that to a 25-year-old that I associate with because he's definitely a millennial, and he's a very, very bright young man, just to give him an opportunity to see that. And he responded back, did I write that site? And I said, no, that's people out of Nevada. So.
Well, just a note of interest for you, Diane. You say you're a member of the 3%ers.
Yes, I am.
Let's get her name straight. I thought it was Denise. Is it Diane?
It
or
is Denise.
Denise.
I answer to anything that starts with a D.
Well, no, I want to get it right because we're just
well, anyway.
Befriending you. And let's.
Not a
okay,
problem.
Go ahead, Robert.
What? I brought, along with a group of other people, I brought the 3%er militia out to Nevada. In fact, we established 3%er militia all across the U.S. in every state. And I was the first commander of the 3%ers in the western states, which included
what?
Nevada, California, and Idaho, Oregon, Washington. That was in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
What prompted you to decide to do that, Robert? What events? I know some.
Well,
events.
I just, I'd been interested in militias for a lot of years prior to that, and I, having been 20 years military, I it was easy for me to fall right in with it, and I thought it was needed because I saw a danger for our nation and that the people were going to have to protect it.
The 3% refers back to the 3% that actually fought the war in the Declaration of Independence?
That's right.
Okay. See, I didn't know that, but I was able to figure that one out. So,
yeah.
I don't know if that's left brain or right brain, but it's one of those. Yeah.
Hey, hello, this is Margie.
Yeah, Margie, I was going to ask you if she was here. Good evening.
Yeah,
Margie.
I'm here. Oh, good
How
evening.
Are you?
Oh, I'm
Margie's
fine.
She's out of
fine.
North Carolina. She's an East Coast citizen.
And Denise is a new member for the NLA, so she's especially belongs here and one of those that we want to work with and help her to know more about the NLA if needed.
Yes, I'm looking at her site. I listen to it. I always listen to all the calls, and I learn a lot by listening. And I heard her, last night. What'd you say your name is? I'm sorry, Denise or Diane?
Denise.
Denise, okay.
And we're fortunate Denise have a pressing legal problem of her own to deal with. A lot of people find in L.A. because they're being injured by the government and need assistance trying to defend their constitutional rights almost immediately. So go ahead, Margie.
Correct. Is Rose on the call? Let's see her name. Robin or Peter? I'm taking
What's
a roll call. Are you here, Peter?
I don't know. Do you know what his area code is? We have a 704 area code with no name.
Martin, hey, this is Robin.
Hey, Robin, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you tonight?
Oh, fine. I'm doing fine. Thank you for coming on the call.
Absolutely.
And I invited Peter on the call, too. That number, Jan, Peter's number is 575-224.
Yeah.
Do you
no,
see?
He's not here.
No.
Doesn't sound like the Mexico area code 575.
Yes. I want to tell you what I've done. I called my people here in North Carolina, and Robin is one of them. She's in South Carolina in Rock Hill. And then I talked to Peter, and he's in New Mexico.
I recall.
And
I'd
like,
Yeah. Pardon? New Mexico, Taos, I think you said.
Yes, yes.
Right.
And I would like you to, I mentioned him about you, Jim. I said,
I'd like Jim
to talk to you.
Number. I've got a pin here, and I'll contact him tomorrow.
Okay, he's really good.
Peter, and it's a 575. What's the rest of the number?
224-0621.
He lives in a good place. I used to live there, so be anxious to call him and say hi.
Yeah, he's been studying the law for a long time, and we had a long conversation, and you know.
Does he have a current pressing issue, or Robin? Do you have one that you'd like to? Since you're here, Robin, we should first come, first serve.
I was going to tell you about hers. Okay.
Do you have any?
No, actually, I told Margie that I've been kind of a truth seeker for the last 5 or 6 years, and I can't believe I'm just now learning about all of this with the Constitution and the corporation stuff. So I want to get involved.
Well, it's all
right. We appreciate it.
Yes, and, you know, that's the thing is I thought to myself, I'm 52, gosh, I cannot believe I don't remember any of this from my schooling. But as it turns out, I found old copies of the books that I had from 8th grade to 12th grade. None of them covered rule of law.
Wow.
See, I'm 66, Denise. And in 8th grade, when I'm 14, that's 1966, in civics they were still teaching government, the Constitution, like they were supposed to. And I'm living experience that from the loss of John F. Kennedy into the loss of Robert Kennedy, they changed everything gradually up to current times in a long-term plot against we the people is what it boils down to. So.
Yeah.
And my story is, in high school, half of it was my fault, and the other half was all the teachers. They were boring to me. But I liked current events is what I like. But I never was into civics that much. I mean, but here I am now. I mean, it was always inside of me to learn the common law and, you know, what's right. I want to do, you know, what's right and for the Constitution and and we've got a lot to learn, Robin, she would like to know more. I think Robin, you told me that she would like to learn more about opening up a what's it called?
For the record.
No, in her county. Inter County.
Committee of Safety.
Committee of Safety.
Yes, COS. Thank you.
It's as simple as finding other people who are like-minded as you, and it's impossible to form a committee of safety by yourself to start with. It's a contact point and spread out. But what state are you in, Robin?
I'm in South Carolina.
Okay.
I have not yet contacted. You do have people, Matthew, I think, listed on the website for South Carolina in my county. So
right.
I have not contacted him yet.
Be a good idea in your spare time to start trying to use some of those phone numbers and make contact with other people.
Yeah,
even
sure
if they don't live in the same county as you, you know. And just begin the process as best you can. So I have to admit it's not that easy. People are hard to contact sometimes, but if we don't try, we don't get anywhere. So,
well, Robin, do you have something to write with?
I do.
I have a website for you, and it'll teach you a lot more about committees of safety as far as how to form them and what they're all about. Anything, any questions you might have of them, this website will answer it.
Okay.
And that is www.COSFormation. That's COS. FORMATION.com.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, if I could add something. Robin, if you find that your local contact in your county is not available or doesn't help you out, give me a call. This is Jan, and I can look up some other people maybe in your county or adjacent counties to see if you can't work with them, okay?
Okay, I appreciate that.
Yeah. My number's in a directory up at the top.
On the website, on the NLA website.
Yeah, have you had a chance to go through the NLA website at all, Robin?
Yes.
You too?
Yes, I went over it with her. Yes.
Great. And Denise, have you been in the website and looked it all over?
Yes, I've spent a few hours. I have a kind of a cool project. We have about 15 minority dentists here in Las Vegas that want to hire me to bring a notice of liability to the Las Vegas District Court because they have all been cited fraudulently by our dental board who takes an oath, so the oath cascade could apply. And they've all been fined between like $100,000 and $300,000. And then these fee examiners extort this money and then take it for themselves as a commission for something that they're supposed to be doing on salary. And it's pretty, you know, Las Vegas was born corrupt. So it's kind of like par for the course here.
Sin City.
But I wanted to see if I could maybe get somebody to kind of steer me through this first go-round. And, they're willing to pay us. I just wanted to, you know, file this paperwork for them and write down the memorandums. And, like, I made some notes last night about the Article 3 court presumption, but I don't know how this fits into what we do here.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about, are they involved in commercial law, which has different ramifications than, independent worker? And that's something I certainly would have to think about. But I can tell you, I now am fully aware that this kind of corruption is going on all around the country. And those are independent businessmen, really. They're dentists, you say? Small practices. And they have likely been targeted by this deep state to put them out of business, to seize their assets.
Yeah.
And sadly, with the new computer systems, with the spying, the deep state is easily able to go around and see who's got cash, assets, any kind of assets, and they're out to strip those from any and everybody. And so it's really...
I find it interesting that the police chief of Las Vegas has now resigned.
I noticed that.
Was that recent?
Yes.
Over some kind of scandal or any evidence why he resigned?
Well, it...
I mean, we're talking Bugsy Siegel country out there, so...
Exactly.
God only knows. On top of they could hide their corruption, you know, under the skin of you know, mafia gambling corruption, when in fact it's just a bunch of judges and lawyers on the take, so... Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And, but, yeah, you have to, I mean, you can follow the same procedure like John was describing last night with, I believe it was Kim in Ohio, about she's getting
right.
Citations for a construction project. And I was already thinking today, you know, how that falls under commercial law, or what rights under the Constitution does a building authority, a county, have to order someone around when they're building a house. Robert?
I'm back. I got a boot out. But I'm back. Yeah. But anyway, it's on a list of people who have currently decided that retirement or
okay.
resignation is the way to go.
Right. Otherwise, things are going to get worse for them. So.
Yeah.
Was this police chief in any way involved in with these dentists that you're describing?
Well,
you know
as
of?
The sheriff, we do have police departments here, but as the sheriff, of course, he is the most powerful person in our county. But his name is
right.
Joe
right.
Lombardo. He used to run all of the security for MGM hotels and Jim Murren. So he got put into the sheriff's position, and then Jim Murren, the month before he fomented the Las Vegas massacre, he sold 90% of his holdings in MGM and then purchased with two other major casino owners security companies that provide electronic security. So the walkthrough things like at the airport and the wanding and all these, you know, various things. And then they had the massacre. So now they're having all these school massacres. And I have tons of evidence that all these have been pre-planned. And they're
That's right.
doing it. Yeah, they're doing it to foment a, you know, a swell of commercial activity in their electronic security device companies.
Well, my instincts say there's going to be just a rash of school shootings in our future, that this is going to go on and on and on. So I was interested.
Yeah, the reason why they're doing it is because that's a way to, they want to eliminate the Second Amendment, you know, so they're getting paid. All of them are getting paid, you know, to do all this. So that's why.
Was this in a discussion at dinner this
evening?
Dinner
on psychosomatic drugs.
That right there, they're talking about permitting the teachers in the schools, and I was saying even that is a control over the Second Amendment, that if the Second Amendment weren't infringed, before that happened, that half the teachers would be carrying guns with him daily. And the crazy kid, and he does look crazy by my opinion, the picture I've seen of him, his eyes, that he would have never even done that, because he walked in that school, he'd be getting
psychosomatic drugs. Psychosomatic
yeah.
drugs. And then I always
and,
ask that, you know, what
yeah,
drugs were they on?
It's
well, I see an article now about a sheriff is offering to train any teacher that wants to be armed. He's willing to train them.
Mm-hmm.
Free.
That's fine, I suppose. I just see the connection that it's like they're still in charge of our right, and it's still under permit authority, and that's not the way the Constitution was written. But, you know, training somebody how to properly operate a firearm, is there's nothing wrong with that. So, and but
that's
the
right.
The back to the Las Vegas thing, that's mixing, you know, huge controversies there, aside from these dentist problem, is probably unrelated. It is just part of Agenda 21, 23, Agenda 30, where we're all being targeted. You know,
yes.
I've had my experiences, and that led to the NLA, where I've been ripped off several times by lawyers and judges. And it began with someone noticing that I had several hundred thousand dollars cash in bank accounts. And so I immediately connect with these dentists. They're being attacked. And then you describe how the money is being divvied up by people. If you have evidence of that, you know, that's actionable.
Yeah.
The process to actually protect them is not an easy one, but that's what common law and what is justice is all about, as opposed to, as William Binney says, it's not the Justice Department, it's just us, where none of us are, you know. You should look into William Binney. He used to be an intelligence chief with National Security Agency, and he actually resigned after 9/11, seeing the unconstitutional acts of our government, couldn't work for him. So, and he's now apparently highly respected by President Trump because he's involved with issues given consultation to Pompeo and the CIA, which is great news because, as I've said before on NLA, William Binney, whatever that man says, I believe him. He's an honest person.
Yes, yes, yeah. I watched the video. I watched his video.
That's what we need. So, we would be glad to. The best thing you could do is start studying the NLA site. For me, I went through just a traffic violation experience that really lasted a year. At a certain level, it's still ongoing. But it took, as John Durash said, you've got to study hard for 5 or 6 months. If you're really smart, maybe you can gather up information in 4 months. But it takes a while to learn how to pursue and protect your rights in the court systems. But just like mathematics was for me, if you keep knocking your head against it, all of a sudden the lights go on and you suddenly realize how things work, and then it looks fairly simple. And going through the court should be pretty simple, except that they're constantly taking us into these fiction courts, and there is no justice there. So, and I'd say that's the trickiest part, is being able to identify as fast as you can that you've been removed from a court of record, a common law court, into a de facto admiralty offshore fiction court. So
it's all about the education, just learning, you know, and suggest you take the our Constitution course, you know, start there.
And then take the civics course, which is longer and much more involved.
120 hours.
Right.
I'm on that now. I already finished the Constitution course. I'm 80% on the civics course. I'm in Thomas Wood's American History.
You just tell these dentists that they do have rights and that they are being injured and abused, and it involves fraud, and that how that is all possible, how a government ever thought it was given authorization to lay out those are unreasonable fines, hundreds of thousands of dollars for anything, you know. Something like that should only be assessed by a jury in a court of record, in a common law court where someone has been injured, and you go through a trial and the jury decides that you owe that injured party hundreds of thousands of dollars. Anything other than that is a complete attack on the Constitution and our rights as any one of the people.
Well, and they've, you know, approached our Attorney General. He won't do anything. He's actually running for governor, but he's an Illuminati. Mm-hmm. Luckily, we do have a great governor candidate that I'm pitching for, and I'm his county chair. He's kind of a Trump for governor, but he's a constitutionalist and also a federalist. So he wrote a book called The Principles of the American Republic, and in it he describes how we need to gut our administrative government, but he also has a method for doing it and also minimizing lobbyists. So it's really, you know, we're very fortunate to have him, but I don't know if he'll make it. I'm, you know, working with him and some other conservatives, and Jan, I did, you know, exchange emails with you on my other idea. So hopefully we can, you know, see if that would even be something that we can all work on and, you know, get that going.
Yes.
Well, at the Nevada election, it can't, the support can't be given, obviously, voters in all the other states. So. And his odds of winning in the state of affairs right now probably are slim. Does he have this, has he got any endorsement or support of the president?
He's our state treasurer currently, and the president has... Yes.
If he's had that position, then I'm entirely wrong that his chances are slim. He already has a...
Well, you're not wrong, because we have a, you know, we're basically a purple state, if not a blue state, and we have Republicans that are not even rhinos. They're that bad. And, you know, we're facing the same thing the whole rest of the country is that, you know, like, for example, the Mormons out here in the West, while there are some really good ones, there's also, you know, they speak to a higher, you know, personality. And that's part of the problem we have is that, you know, when you're dealing with all these factions, just like everywhere else in the country. So I don't know. I'll keep working his angle, but... I'm hopeful that we can at least make it past the primary.
Well, at the moment, I'm sure everybody is aware that Trump is out to drain the swamp, and that includes the Illuminati.
Right.
And the rest are starting. I mean, the rest have been going on for a while now. But there will be, as time goes on, there will be more and more arrests made of the corrupt officials.
Well, we do have the nice thing, like you mentioned yesterday, the 12 judges for the military tribunal. I think that's what was one of the things that, you know, that train crash a couple weeks ago, the House Intelligence Committee was actually on their way there to the Greenbrier to get all that together, because I guess that was kind of being pieced together in West Virginia. But the 13,000 sealed indictments, a lot of those have already begun to be served, and Gitmo is getting filled up.
Well, yeah, Gitmo is pretty much filled up. They're opening up two more prisons.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the judges have been at work for the last 11 months going over cases. And so it's been an ongoing process.
Have you had any information, since this is military tribunals down the road, will the information be released about all these imprisoned?
Well, they will be. They will be eventually.
Yeah, okay.
I can tell you that there will be no civilian trial for Illuminati.
Good, because that goes back to Trump's 1221 executive order that basically says all the foreign nationals are fair game.
Right. But anyway, everything has begun. Everything is in operation. Everything is happening. And
that's right.
The war has been won. What's left is the mop-up.
You know, I'm already concerned these dozen, 14 dentists, that they could lose their fortunes before, you know, the swamp gets drained. And how could we help them? So, Denise, if you can find my number under the welcoming committee, Jim in New Mexico, if you want to call me in the daytime and give me more information about that, we can discuss ideas.
Thank you. And I need more
information. I'm not a lawyer. All I can do is point to other papers within L.A. or my own experience. But I've been through state court, district court, into federal court, and it's been quite a learning curve. And it's pretty much like that across the country.
Uh-huh. I want to point out that We also have a committee call tomorrow night. Same number, same room.
Okay.
For courtroom observers. And then on Thursday night, we have two calls. The first one is at 8 p.m. Eastern for natural healing. And we have a wonderful speaker that's going to be on talking about natural healing things. But then at 9 p.m. Eastern, we have a committee of safety call.
Oh, good.
And
Monday night
they've been working on
event.
Teaching the Constitution and going over a lot of different things, and I think you'll find it interesting.
Is that the same number?
Same number. Same room,
oh,
same
good.
Number.
Tuesday, Wednesday, okay. Thursday is the same, and if you can't watch it, listen to it live, as all you have to do is change the last two digits to say 50 and the phone number to 57. It's the same entry code. And you can listen to the recording anytime at your pleasure. Up until
okay.
the next night, the Tuesday night, if they get recorded and are available, they'll get recorded over as far as listening to that number for Wednesday night. And then the Thursday night, which some feel is the best conversation other than the Monday night main call, you can listen to that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's usually available on that phone number. Just 57 at the end, not 50. And,
okay.
and, of course, you can find most of this on the NLA site where it says on the right column Monday calls, and click on that, and you'll get
that's
a whole
the
list.
The welcome and the news tab, that's where the newsletter is. You know, you can, print that off, the newsletter. It's under news, then the news tab, and then the drop-down menu news. And then another drop-down menu to the right, it'll say, I mean, you'll look and you'll see what says newsletter. You print that off. And
in the New York cases, the New York gun law lawsuit has apparently just been filed on that news site, correct, Margie?
Right.
Yes, it's on there, yes.
Whereas most is under the docket on, what is it, what's the title, jury?
Grand jury.
Grand jury, okay.
Grand jury tab. Yeah. You can also go to the committee tab and the blue banner at the top and click on any one of the committees, and all of the recordings we've ever done are listed
okay.
at the bottom of each page for each committee, so you can go back and look at any one of them at any time, so there's no time limit on it.
I see.
Yeah, and I began by going all the way back to 2012 and start listening when I joined NLA. About a year ago is all I've been involved. I was a furious blogger on Alex Jones after Sandy Hook 2013-14, and somebody, one of my blogs, I mean, they've gone for pages. They were the biggest blogs, and they've gone for pages talking about things, and somebody responded back that said, you need to look up nationallibertyalliance.org. I wrote it on a floor plan of a building I was working on, and it sat there until I got into this traffic court mess, and suddenly it reappeared as if by magic, as if it was a force of God,
hand of
creation.
God.
And of course, that's my whole experience. Maybe I'll tell you about in more detail sometime. But,
thank you.
You know, National Liberty Alliance is real. I was searching for a group of people that are serious, honest, want to accomplish something since about 2006. And it was only in the last year that I ran into a group of people that I consider just like me. And it's a great group of people. And, you know, people like Margie out in North Carolina, she's definitely,
yeah.
She's definitely interested in all this. And that's what it takes, is endeavor. And Denise, I heard you last night, and I just happened to have my computer on and typed in that Jane address, and up popped all that. And I was already sending it out to other people I know to look at that site, because it's right up my alley for the way I think about things. So we need more people like that. So.
Oh, well, thank you.
And yeah.
Denise.
Yes.
I'm sitting here looking at the Nevada members list, and there must be 30 people in Clark County, which I think is Las Vegas, isn't it?
Yes.
And if you want, and you're looking for people for your Committee of Safety, I can bundle them up and email them to you in the morning.
That's great, and I'd be happy to
work on.
I want to do that. Thank you.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'll get that off to you.
Okay.
Denise, I heard you say last night on the Monday night call, something about, I can't stand politics. I just can't stand it. I'm just common law. So that, you know, I'm just learning it. I'm just learning common law. It's not hard. But you said something about the politicians and all. You have questions or the ones that want to run for different political things. You have questions and answers, and if they can't answer them, then what'd you say? You can't, you know, we don't want them in office.
I have to certify them. Yeah, so here's what my plan is. If we don't do it, the lobbyists will. So in my investigations, I've come across the fact that Cato Institute was essentially a libertarian, nonprofit, and nobody really knew this until recently that George Soros was funding it. Well, Cato Institute is the single entity that educates our legislators for Congress when they get there. There's a 2-week time period when they first arrive, and they do refresher courses for the incumbents, and then for the new legislators, they teach them all about the Constitution, and they do touch on rule of law a little bit, but you can read the handbook. It's on, you know, online. And then I found out that George Soros was funding this, so I started getting involved in that, and I thought, wait a minute. These people have not even probably read the Constitution in 2 or 3 or 4 decades. If they're like me, they weren't even taught rule of law, except I had a good grandpa who, you know, taught me some things. But what I thought was what if we teach them that there is an oath cascade through the process of notice of liability, and that way maybe we weed out a couple right away who thought that they could come in here and extort money from us. But also, for the good guys, we're giving them a whole arsenal of arrows for their quivers where they can now have a leg to stand on in the legislature and say, hey, I can't sign this bill because it would be unconstitutional. And they would have knowledge about how to go about changing these laws so that they weren't violating their oaths, even though they have just, you know, recently taken them, they're probably not thinking like how we're thinking because they never get trained that way. They weren't trained that way as a school person, as an adult. And now as a legislature, when you read through the Cato Institute handbook, they're
the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, the little pocket. A handbook. I mean, I have that. It, you know, from the Cato Institute years ago or something. So, I'm reading it, but
Institute was great. You know, 20 years ago. I don't know. I just know of it recently. And when you look at the last 10 years of what they've done, no, it's Soros backed.
If his name is on it, Soros, you know that it's a crime scene. That 2 weeks is probably nothing but intimidating the new members.
Yes.
And what you're saying is a great idea. If you could certify candidates, if we could create something, and that has to go through the hierarchy of NLA, like Jan would be the first person to present that to, and then going up the ladder where you're basically trying to set up a system to where it would be the NLA basically certifies a candidate, says, he knows the Constitution. She knows the Constitution.
Oh,
and that's all we're admitting, and that could end up being a great thing, you know, if we get to the point where the tipping point, enough membership, where enough people become aware of National Liberty Alliance, if they were to start looking for a certification of all candidates throughout the country, well, that's going to make a guy like George Soros really upset, you know.
Right. And, I think that's a good thing, but how do you, I'm trying to listen, think about your plan. Okay, you mean you talk to, who do you talk to, people that are, that want to run for office, the mayor, the governor, the, whoever wants to go into stupid, I can't stand it, but the politics,
okay, so
and all the...
Here's the plan. We are going to be gleaning from the candidate Secretary of State websites on all 50 states, the governorships, judges, sheriffs, as well as the state and federal electorate candidates. And from there, they'll all be sent an email as an invitation to take the survey. But only independent or Republican or people that seem somewhat conservative. It's not going to be sent to every single candidate, because if they're flaming liberals, we absolutely just don't even want to invite the opportunity for them to take the pledge and then turn around and, you know,
stab you in the back.
Yes. So we figure there'll be around 700 candidates total, and all the candidates will be filed by March 15th. So on that day, we'll start working through all the websites. It'll take us a few days, and then we'll email out the invitations. From there, we'll, you know, begin getting the survey back. Most of the survey is being processed through an internet. I can do up to 30 questions, and they have 6 different formats for the questions, and then I can weight the questions and the answers, and then anybody getting a score of, you know, X will then be invited to take the pledge. From there, we will hopefully National Liberty Alliance, if they want to, be a part of it as kind of a sponsor. But I also have Jay Sukalo's Christian Liberties Union as a possibility, as well as Gun Owners of America and also Bikers for Trump. So hopefully we're just trying to get some of these other endorsements. It might not happen this year, which is okay, but the candidates will be taking the survey at, I think, around $200 is a reasonable amount of money. And then, you know, maybe the pledge would be $20. But every week they'll be getting one-pagers called the Leaf of Liberty. And these are documents that are kind of at a glance, here's the dirt, here's what you need to know, and some articulation points on everything. So say that they're at a candidate function or perhaps even in a debate, they would have these little at-a-glance pieces that would, you know, be kind of a good summary of the various subjects, because not every candidate is going to be as up on things as we are. And, you know, honestly, the conservatives I know running, they're business people. One of them is an anesthesiologist, and she's taking time off work to do this, you know. So they don't have the time to put into it like we do, and I'm just trying to get them early before it's too late and the Cato Institute takes over.
Now, will they, so these questions, you said 30-some questions, will they, they're going to be really about the Constitution, right? Or...
Well, we're going to apply the Constitution to it. So, for example, there's a social movement. It's called Cloward Piven, and this was articulated in the 1960s by some economists, and they were socialists. And they describe how they're going to foment the Communist Manifesto. And this would be something that, you know, a candidate, they know that these things are going on, but they don't know it's called Cloward Piven and the basis for it. So then we would say, here's the Cloward Piven key points, and this is why it's unconstitutional. Now they can apply that to other Cloward Piven type things as they're legislating, you know, and there's just lots of those types of things. So
Cloward Piven, I've heard quoted constantly, but I really can't define it. Can you define it in a few sentences?
Oh, how would I define Cloward Piven? Basically, it's bankrupting us socially. So it's the hijra of the Muslims. It's our open borders policy for MS-13, where it drives the entire society into a socialistic platform, because that's the only way that you'll be able to survive within the environment.
These are two prominent, Cloward and Piven were two prominent people that the name is derived from, that are part of the creation of what you're describing. That's why it's called Cloward and Piven.
Yeah, so they were economists in the 60s, and they basically came up with this idea, hey, if we can get our Democratic Party to adopt this process by which we demoralize and denude and, you know, separate people from their financial property, this would be a nice way to get people into essentially the Communist Manifesto. And, realize all these things are happening, but until you start putting it together and you see it defined as Cloward Piven, then you go, oh, I get it. You know, same thing with the Communist Manifesto, although a lot of people are, familiar with that. But we want to put it in terms of here's what it is and here's why it's unconstitutional. And I just kind of a rough draft going right now.
You should call back next Monday night and get on the call, *61, as quick as you can after it begins recorded, and present your idea about certifying political candidates to John and company, because it sounds like a good idea, and it might be a way to derive some donations to NLA. We're seeking ways to create monetary support, and that sounds like one of the better ideas I've heard. I would suggest that. So, and you
want
to hit *61, and that way Monday night you have to get on the list early to be able to talk. If you get on it late.
I have kind of gotten it going a little bit with NLA.
I think it's a great idea if it'll work,
Thank you.
And you're obviously intelligent and energetic, and there should be a question in that 30 that just says, are you honest? Or dishonest, and if we could just, And when they say, that I'm dishonest, then we'll just rule them out. So it's really that simple.
Well, it can't hurt. It can't hurt what you're doing. It's better than what we have now. I mean,
Imagine that in the future, that if people awakened and could go to NLA for reference. We've all been through elections where we've just voted for people because they had a pretty name or a pretty necktie on or whatever. Kissed a baby was always what bothered me, was there'd be a politician and he just kisses a baby and people think he's a sweetheart. And we need to get away from that garbage that led us down this road to doom and gloom.
Yeah, the doom and gloom. It's emotional. They're getting emotional there, but using the emotional on people. Well, I'm not going to vote for anybody that I don't know about. See, I'd have to investigate. I'd have to see, but... most people don't know anything about it. Constitution.
We need to question the candidates. We need to know where they stand. But we've gone through our hour.
Okay.
And it's been a very interesting conversation. And Margie, thank you for all the work you do.
Thank you.
Thanks for bringing these people to us.
Yes, you're welcome. And do you want me to work on Ohio? See, I'm from Columbus, Ohio. That's my hometown. So I saw like four people from Ohio in January. They joined. They signed up in January.
So, as it stands right now, just keep doing what you're doing. If you see somebody that needs a call, give them a call. Wherever they're at.
I'm a go-getter. I mean, I'm an expediter. I get things riled up, get things going. But
and Jim, thank you. I like the way you can carry a conversation on, Jim. So great work.
I think it'll get better and better. I sort of am out of practice. I studied to be an architect in college, but dropped out after 2 years. But in the design class, they taught us how to get up in front of a crowd of people who were licensed engineers and architects and convince them that your project was a good project. And when I dropped out, I had just made an A-minus in the last design class. So. And
Robin and Denise, appreciated having you here and hope to see you again next Tuesday night.
Sounds great. Nice to meet all of you.
Nice to meet everybody.
Wait,
like I say, we have...
I want to say something before y'all hang up.
Hey there, how you doing in California, Fred?
Yeah, please, everybody listen to this. There's a gentleman by the name of Ollie. Now, Ollie is running an NLA newsletter, and he's got equipment together to broadcast. And he needs to be kept in the loop of any information or news you guys want to put out. I'm just throwing that in there that if you're going
to... Is he actually broadcasting himself as an announcer to get that going?
No. Okay. No, he's got the websites that's taking...
Do we have anybody actually broadcasting announcing yet?
He's looking for reporters in every county.
I would love to do it, but either
send him news items that he can post or live streaming videos or, you know, whatever somebody has.
Exactly. Now, on the NLA website, you can download the information to become a reporter and get your own common law press reporting credentials and work with Ollie. And that's what he's looking for. And that's why I bring this up. It's a welcome meeting. I'm going to sign out now. Nice talking to you people.
Thank you, Fred. And
I was a journalist broadcaster for 40 years. So
I really appreciate the call tonight. And I look forward to next Tuesday night. And you guys are all welcome to come on the calls tomorrow night and Thursday night.
Okay.
Sounds great.
Have a good evening, Margie and Denise and Robert.
All right.
You too.
And Jan. Don't forget Jan.
Thank you. Y'all too. And Jan.